of 2023. And so everybody here has a clean slate, perfect slate. God help us maybe to challenge ourselves tonight to make as many of the services of the church as faithfully as possible. I've challenged you in years gone past, and in years gone past, gone from week to week for a little while, told you this is the second Sunday. How many have you missed, or how many have you been to? This is the third Sunday. I'm not going to do that this year. But as you stand here on the threshold of a brand new year, may God help us to be resolved, as we sung just a moment ago. Be faithful to God's house, and not to miss the services of the Lord's house and the Lord's people, if at all possible that we can be here. Pray for each other as we go into the new year. Seems like Christmas, and the thought of Christmas, has been extended to the place where it's like we're observing it for 3 months out of the year. October going into November, people are already talking about it and looking forward to it and all the planning and all the hoopla that goes along, and then poof, it's over. It's gone. That's where we are today. It's all gone now. We got to go back to normal life if the Lord would let us. So pray that God would help us to get back to that focus of some sense of normality and the service of the Lord. When I say pray for each other and pray as we get back to normal, January can be a most difficult year. It's the longest one of winter, really. It follows all of the hoopla that we just talked about. And I've had preachers tell me it's a hard month for them as far as discouragement and depression. So let's pray for each other that God would get us through January as unscathed as possible. Let's take our Bibles back to the book of Romans, chapter 4. With the holiday and all that was going on last week, and the holiday and all that's going on this week, we stepped aside from those doctrinal things that we began looking at concerning the Lord's church. We'll get back into that next Sunday evening, Lord willing. We stepped away from it last Sunday and again tonight. And I guess I would title the thoughts that the Lord has given us tonight, Promises from Isaiah. Promises from Isaiah. I don't know if you think about the book of Isaiah as a book of promise or a book of promises, but you should. There are so many promises that God gives his people from the book of Isaiah, and we're going to try to look at about five of those as the Lord would allow us. Romans chapter 4. We'll read verse 3, then we'll jump over to verse 20 through 25 as we read this morning. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let's turn over to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Genesis, the 12th chapter. We saw three points or three thoughts this morning from the text concerning the faith of Abraham. We saw that God always performs, always, still, today, always performs what he promises. We saw that Abraham staggered not at those promises. We saw, third of all, this morning, that Abraham was strong in faith. Being strong in faith, he gave God glory. He acknowledged God and God's ability. And as we drew from that thought of these things were not just written that they might be reminders of God's working with Abraham, but they were written for our own learning. Let us be reminded tonight that God always performs what he has promised. He always performs his promises. God help us, you, me, us, as a church, members of this church, not to stagger, not to doubt, not to waver, not to flip-flop, not to go back and forth at those promises. But let us be strong in faith. Let us give God glory and let us exalt the ability of God. Let us go back to the beginning of this series of messages and declare without shame, God is able to keep all that we've committed unto him against that day. And as we journey through this life, God help us to remember he is able to do all that we ask or think. Able. Never to leave us, never to forsake us. He's able to help us. He's able to provide all that we need. The promises of God are not just those things that have to do with forgiveness, redemption, salvation, eternal life. But the promises of God have much to do with those things that he is providing for us. That we need to live for him, live this life for him. Here in Genesis 12, I just wanted to read about four verses concerning the call of Abraham. Refresh our minds and our memory about the promises that God gave to him and those promises that Abraham acted upon. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, later to be changed to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Here's some of those promises. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Abraham believed God. He acted upon those promises. He put some feet to those promises. He didn't just claim them, put them on a shelf. But verse number 4 says he departed. He moved. He began to display his obedience to the Lord. And we see in the life of Abraham not only that act of faith that was imputed to him for righteousness' sake, his faith that not only was imputed to him for righteousness' sake, but we see a faith that Abraham had in all the promises of God once he had begun the journey to bring it to completion, to provide all that he needed. And though it began at 75 and was not begin to be realized until he was 100, he believed God. He believed the promises of God. And all I want to do tonight is look through the prophet Isaiah at some of the promises of God that, let me say at the beginning, and I'll not repeat. I want to look at some of the promises of God that are found in the book of Isaiah that are likewise found in other places of Scripture that can be gone to and can verify the fact that these are true promises of God. But we're just going to focus in on the book of Isaiah. And we're looking at the promises of God that have to do with the life of faith that God has called us to. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He had committed some things, entrusted some things, deposited some things with the Lord, the Apostle Paul had. And he knew they were safe, they were sure, they were secure until he was in the presence of the Lord or until he saw the Lord. The promises we're looking at in our time together tonight have to deal with day-to-day life. We have that blessed faith that Paul spoke of, that Abraham was said to have had. It has to do with salvation, forgiveness, redemption, eternal life, etc. Things that are ours in Christ. But he's not only given us that faith and that assurance that those things that we have committed unto him, he is able to keep. But he's given us a multitude of promises to go along with that most significant and underlying promise of eternal life and salvation. I think I said this morning it was like God guaranteeing. There's no way possible we'll come short. There's no way possible we'll not see the Lord one day. There's no way possible that those things we have committed unto him are going to fail. Because he's given us the promise of those things in that particular event, but he's given us many other promises that go with us through this life. I began looking this week at the subject of the promises of God. And it's like anything else in the world. You can Google it. You can search it. And you can find list after list after list that people have come up with passages of Scripture that they believe are a promise from God. And I was overwhelmed at my studies at the fact that almost, seems like almost every verse of Scripture is a promise. Every verse of Scripture is a part of a covenant that God has entered in with us. And I came to the conclusion that you might be able to make a list, and you might be able to make a long list, but you'll never be able to make an all-inclusive list because the promises of God are so innumerable. It's beyond our comprehension what God has promised His people. The book of Isaiah chapter 41. Matthew chapter 28, the book of Hebrews, other places give us a promise from the Lord that He would never leave us or forsake us. That's not a promise dealing with heaven. Goes without saying, when we're in heaven, when we're in the presence of the Lord, He's never going to leave us, He's never going to forsake us. But the promise of never leaving us, never forsaking us, is particularly in reference to this life, our day-to-day existence. And in Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10, "Fear not, or fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, I am with thee." He gave us the similar promise in the commission of the church. He repeated it, as I just said, in the book of Hebrews. And He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. So here we are, born again children of God, born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in our salvation we've believed Him, and in our salvation we have committed to His keeping some things, and we believe He's going to keep those things until we're in the presence of the Lord. And while we're on the journey, I think I talked about this last week, while we're on the journey to being with the Lord, seeing the Lord, whatever application you want to draw from, we have the promise never to leave us, never to forsake us. How good is that? How good is God to us? To save our soul, to give us forgiveness, eternal life, to promise us our one day being in His presence, to tell us that one day it's going to climax with our seeing our Savior. How good it is of God to say, now while you're on the journey, while you're on the journey, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake. That's a promise. But like any of the promises you want to talk about, any of the promises that we reference in relationship to Abraham, or the promises in general that Paul spoke of, or Abraham spoke of in this morning's text, as we go through our lives, we have the promise that reinforces all of the other promises, that He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. In Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." What a statement. That's a promise. It's a promise of Scripture. It's a promise of God. It's a promise from our Lord. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He promises peace. It isn't that a most long after thing? Isn't that a most desired thing? The world wants it. The world speaks of it. People who don't know anything about it think they have it. It's something we so desperately need to survive these days. Peace. I remember the Dunaways. I don't know how many who know the Dunaways or remember the Dunaways, but they were a man and wife team of instrumental guitarists and gospel singers. Been around our churches, around our fellowship. I can remember when I first started hearing them sing, would have been back in the 80s, going into the 90s. They had this song that was almost like one of their most critical songs. Not the Old Black Book. They were famous for singing "What's Wrong with the Old Black Book." I love that song. I almost asked them every time they sang at our conference at Milton. I asked them if they could sing that one. And I'm sure they got tired of singing it. "What's Wrong with the Old King James?" The answer is nothing. But they had a song that they were also very well known for. It talked about a deep, settled peace. There's a deep, settled peace in my soul. A deep, settled peace. What a most desired thing. In the storms of life and the wars that are going on all over the world and are never going to cease, and all the drama that is a part of life, to be able to have a deep, settled peace, which begins with knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll never know peace. You'll never have peace deep within you if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that's your greatest need. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is possible to have a deep, settled peace. When the world's going crazy, a child of God can be at peace. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee, because he believes you're able, because he believes you're able to keep his promises. John 16 has a similar passage of scripture. In Isaiah 43, as we move along, Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindled upon thee. See, the Lord never promises we won't go through these things. The Lord never promised blue skies every day, rose-petaled, strewn pathways all through life. We're going to pass through the waters. We're going to pass through the rivers. We're going to pass through and walk through the fire sometimes. He says there, thou shalt not be burned, neither shalt the flame kindle upon thee. Why? For I, the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. You're going to go through these things, but I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to preserve you. We went to Daniel this morning. And I like the details of Scripture, and I'm not going to get it right because I didn't go and refresh my memory. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace after they declared, we're not careful to answer you. God is able to deliver us. They were thrown into the lake of fire. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. The king got up and took a good look in there, and he says, we threw three guys into that fire, and there's 1, 2, 3. I see a fourth one. That fourth one is like the Son of God. And I like the details of Scripture because the Bible says they came out of that fiery furnace and they didn't even have the smell of smoke. They didn't even have the smell of smoke upon them. You can't get within a few feet of a fire and not go away smelling like a chimney till you take a bath and get fresh clothes on. But they were thrown into the fiery furnace and God delivered them. He was with them. He was in the fire with them. They came out of the fiery furnace that had been heated, what, 7 times hotter than normal? And they didn't even smell like smoke. That's because the Lord preserved them. The Lord preserves us as we go through this journey, believing He's able to keep those things we committed unto Him. He's promised to preserve us. Chapter 41 of Isaiah. We find a promise of God, I believe, here in verse 13. Isaiah 41, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Do you sense the hand of God upon you? Have you totally forgotten that He's got you by the right hand? Amen. Don't waver. Don't stagger. God always performs what He promises. Let us not stagger at the promises of God. Let us be strong in faith. Give glory to God. Let us never forget He's promised to hold onto our right hand. To help us. See, this is not the first time we've mentioned it in this series, and it'll not be the last. But as we journey from point A to point B, looking for the coming of the Lord, He's given us all these other promises. We must believe He is able. And as we go through this life of ours with all of its difficulties, don't forget the Lord saying, I will help thee. If you start thinking it along the lines, you got to do it on your own. It's up to you. It's going to overwhelm you to destruction. You don't have to do it on your own. He never called you to do it on your own. He's always given us the promise of, I will help thee. I will help thee. probably real close by here in your most Bibles. Chapter 40. We find the promise of strength. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Peace, preservation, help. And in chapter 40, verse number 31, strength. Strength. Very familiar passages of Scripture. I got a sweatshirt for Christmas. Did I mention it again? One of my daughters made for me, has this passage of Scripture on it, at least a portion of this passage of Scripture. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We constantly need renewal. We constantly need recharging to get through this life to the end. We need Him to renew our strength. And He promises here in this portion of Scripture, they that wait upon the Lord, we're not going to get into the conditions and things attached to these promises. We're just looking at the promises. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'll give you strength. Ephesians 1, Psalms 23 tells us He'll give us all of our needs. Psalm 32, verse 8, He says He would lead us and guide us. We quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning, where He promised His grace. I think this is a promise we belittle and don't really appreciate as much as we should. My grace is sufficient. It's enough. There's nothing going to happen to you. Nothing's going to come into your life that's going to overwhelm grace. My grace is sufficient. Yeah, but you don't know what's happening to me. Yeah, you don't know what I'm going to go through. You don't know this. You don't know that. God knows. And God says, my grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, another passage of Scripture I don't think we fully appreciate. All things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called according to purpose, His purpose. All things. That's a promise. And we always explain that verse this way. It doesn't say all things are good, because there's a lot of not good that comes into our life. But it does promise that all these things work for our good. End result. There are many, many promises of God in Scripture. In each promise, God pledges that something will or will not be done or given or come to pass. These are not flippant, casual promises such as we often make. These promises of God are rock solid, unequivocal commitments made by God Himself, because God is faithful. The recipients of the divine promises can have full assurance that what God has pledged, He will indeed be realized. Let's stand together. Close with a verse of song. All the